and welcome to another exciting episode of Visit Bentonville's New American Town Podcast. As always, we are coming to you from Haxton Road Studios, right off the beautiful downtown square. My name is Kaylin Griffith. I'm the president of Visit Bentonville, and I'm very excited to be here today with my friend Kent McNeil, the CEO of IMBA, the International Mountain Bicycling Association. Kent, welcome to Bentonville, Arkansas, the mountain bike capital of the world.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, as always.
Well, I'm super excited because, you know, you guys were such an integral part in it from when I started 17 years ago. I had no idea anything about cycling. And so we're going to get to talk a little bit about how you guys impacted us and where you guys have gone from, you know, originally 17 years ago with us. I know you guys have been in existence for a lot longer than that, but I really want to talk about that impact that you guys have had for us. You know, we've had, we started about 2009 with our trails, and I was on the phone with your team quite often. And then, you know, from where we've come today to where we are now, being that we were a pass-through destination, people didn't come here for our trail riding initially. We got 5 miles, we got 10 miles. Now we have almost a couple hundred miles in our area of trails. So I'd love to hear about, you know, our journey happened kind of quickly, but it did not happen overnight. It was a long process in the making, and I think a lot of times people forget that. So tell me what you think a typical journey is.
Well, that journey can be really complex because, you know, IMBA for a long time has been, our mission has been to create, enhance, protect great places to ride. And there's been a lot of focus on, you know, the trail itself. And I think one thing that we learned in partnership with you all here in Bentonville is that bringing a community to life and a trail system to life that serves the broader community, it can take a lot longer. It's intentional, but that timeline can be, you know, it's generally years in the making. It's not just a few months. And so depending on whether you're dealing with federal land or state land or county land or city land can really change that timeline. But we're here to try to help accelerate that and help communities move forward more quickly.
Well, can you talk a little bit about, you guys do such a great job of this. And I think you have, you know, you and I talked the other day and I said that you guys are really, you know, doing cutting-edging things with leading communities with the planning, design, and construction of that. Tell us some of the things that you guys are doing now or even in the last few years that you guys have done to assist cities and to make it happen, because you've been an integral part for us. So
yeah, no, I think, you know, one, we've recognized our role is to really convene and share best practices and help communities learn from one another and create that learning environment and community together. And, you know, we're starting to look at some of the more innovative things is looking at all the green and open spaces in communities and starting to figure out how that system can cater to both kids on Strider bikes to the, you know, to the double black diamond gap jumpers, right? And so getting a system to serve that way, looking at all the parks and how you connect those so that people can ride to and from those experiences is really, really important. But that takes a step back in planning and really being intentional from the get-go of how you get there and then how you build that community support and unlock the funding that goes along with that that's needed. We're really working on developing those tools and resources for communities.
And you guys do a little bit of grant type, you know, I guess grant opportunities for communities or counties. So can you talk just a little bit about that?
You bet. So our Trail Accelerator grant program thanks to Tom and Stuart for helping kick that program off. It really helps communities get in on the concept planning level, because to get a community to buy in, they've got to a lot of times have a vision to look at and see what you're really talking about. And so the Trail Accelerator grant program helps bring funding to planning, because there's more funding out there for construction, but there wasn't a lot of funding to get the planning done. So we want to help communities, you know, use those concept plans to then unlock the funding for the final design and construction of the trail and trail systems they desire to see in their community.
And I think that's an integral part of things. Personally, from being an outsider looking in on trail development, because, you know, I'm just the girl that tells the story on trails. So I think the important thing for you guys is that creating that plan to really impact the community, because you can come in and you can build a trail, but if you're not figuring out how it ties into the community, and there's not a storytelling opportunity for us, I don't think it has the impact that people are looking for. And I think that's key. And I think you guys have led the effort in that. I think let's even take it one step further. You know, those trail champions, you know, and I think the necessity of it, or is it nice to have? I think that we have that opportunity to say it is a necessity and it's nice to have. So I think you guys have talked a little bit about that. Why don't you talk a little bit about trail champions?
Yeah, you know, trail champions and the teams that they lead are really, they're the foundation of bringing these whole systems to life. And they're the keeper of the vision. They're also, they drive the community engagement. And so we work to wrap around trail champions to provide them the tools and resources they need at every step of the way, all the way starting with vision to where, you know, after the system's on the ground, how's it maintained? How's it operated? How do we steward that into the future? And so with every community has one. That's one thing that we've noticed. And it's or a team of them to, you know, as the system grows bigger. And so without them, there's just not that passion and that energy to bring this to life, because it's complex work and people can tire out pretty easily from it. And so, yeah, you need those champions.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to go into a question that we've kind of talked about a little bit before in the past, but you know, we talk about champions, we talk about all the things, the complexity of it, the planning, the developing, you know, I had no idea any of this. And I would, if I didn't have IMBA, or your team kind of guiding me initially, because I wasn't an avid cyclist. I'd been on a bike. That was not the concern, but it was about the trail development and trails, supporting the trail system that's coming into my community. Where do people start in their communities? Because I think, what do they look for guidance? Where do they begin their journey? Because I had you guys. I think somebody introduced me to somebody from your team, Rich Cook and his team. And really, I think I was on the phone with your team often. And I think it was because I had no problem asking questions of things I didn't know. So tell me a little bit, where do you think, if a city was looking at something, or if there were leaders in the community, and sometimes it's not always just about the person that's riding the bike, it's people like myself that are wanting to support it. You know, I have a passion for cycling. Doesn't mean I had a passion from the very beginning, because I knew it was going to impact our community. So tell me what you think.
Yeah, the trail champions are looking and evolving into a lot of different folks in the community now, like yourself. Maybe don't even have a mountain bike, but they see the value of trails. And what we found is, you know, we have our Trail Labs Foundations program, and that's going on right now here in Bentonville. It's a great place to bring your community stakeholders and other folks that maybe want to understand the value of trails, bring them into this 2-day conference where we really kind of lay out what does that path look like from this early vision to what you have here today in Bentonville. And so I think you'll find the Trail Labs Foundation is a great place to start. It also gets you connected with IMBA and with our other national partners and resources so that we can help you along in the journey to make it an easier process. And like you said, you can know nothing about trails, or you can come in and know everything about trails, and there's still a lot to learn in bringing systems to life.
I agree. And if it wasn't for your team, you know, I can't thank you enough, and all of your team from 2005 until the present day. I still use your team on a regular basis. So I do appreciate that. And I think one of the things that we learned along the way is that that was a surprise to me, is that when we first initially started developing trails, we were developing trails for the top 20% of folks, which were those very avid cyclists and people like myself that like to keep my wheels on the ground. We're looking for that green level cycling. And I think that was probably our biggest surprise, that people will travel as a family if you have all levels of progress on your trail system. And I think that was a huge surprise for us. Tell me a little bit about where you think those things, you know, that how important that is. But then also, I think tying it into a couple other things is we didn't do a good job of trail mapping and getting the etiquette of trail systems. That was a lot of education in the beginning. So talk a little bit about that, along with, you know, when we're addressing people, that not to do, you know, don't forget all the audience levels.
Yeah, it's so important. And look, that's how mountain biking, you know, back when I was building trail in college, it was enthusiasts building trails for themselves, right? And we worked with the land manager, they gave us permission, and we went out and built things that challenged us or that we like to ride. And what we're seeing as mountain biking continues to grow is that there's such a need to have diversity in trail systems. The industry is creating amazing bikes that can do a lot more than they ever have. And so the riding experience choices that people want to have. Everything from a kid on a Strider bike to an enduro run to a traditional cross-country trail. The experiences are evolving. And if you really want to embrace the value of trails broadly in your community, you've got to build the diversity of experiences that people want. You have to build the skill progression so that people can continue to challenge themselves. And so you will find in most communities a lot of blue and sometimes black single track, because that's what enthusiasts built. Now it's time to expand out and go back and build the green trail and the trail that everybody can have fun on, and then push the element on the other end too. And that's so important to create a system that serves everybody in the community.
I agree. And I think that's the future of our trails. And I think what excites me about it is that we're seeing it wasn't just a mom or a dad coming to ride. Now it's the whole family, and you're getting to that experience that. And I think our future of our trails is, and you're the expert on this, but I think, you know, we're really focused on purpose built trails. But I do know that and multi-use trails. Describe some, you know, experiences that you think, or how do they affect the communities when you do that type of thing? You addressed it a little bit, but, you know, go into a little bit more detail on that.
In terms of shared use?
Yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, natural surface trail user community is pretty broad. And, we've worked with through Trails Are Common Ground to really unite all the natural surface trail users and start to look at how you have innovation and planning and design to meet all the goal experiences that all those users want. And so shared use, shared direction makes sense in certain settings, but as you get trails more in communities and you bring trails to people, there's density of use, and then shared use, shared direction doesn't work so well. So we're really working on how we innovate those planning and design principles to create both directional and mountain bike optimized trails for mountain bikers, and then also to use shared use, shared direction trails to get folks like hikers into a hoof and boot only experience zone where they don't have to worry about a mountain biker bombing down and having to jump off the side of the trail. And so if there's intentionality in the design, your entire trail user community, mountain bikers included, can have a better experience on those trails and in those systems as you design those experience zones.
Yeah, and you know, my focus is about tourism, and it's about getting people to come from outside the area. But I think what has benefited us is that we have a really interesting and amazing bike culture here, that our community has bought into that cycling world, that, you know, we have more ambassadors just riding on our trails because they're helping people on a regular basis. And I think that's really important. And, you know, there's that health and wellness side of things. And we're looking at how we measure that. And in 2017, we did the Walton Family Foundation, along with People for Bikes study, that we're, you know, and they're going to implement that again. We should be seeing that in the next year or so. So how are we measuring aspects of trails? How are you guys looking at measuring those aspects? And how do we prepare for that? Because I know for me, when I initially started, data was such a big deal that was not available to kind of tell the story so I could get our city council and our others to buy into it. It was a lot of passion and emotion bought into it. So how do we prepare for that? And how do we measure those aspects to help support other communities?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, at IMBA, we have our Trails Count program, which is, that's like the first step, is just counting how many people are using your trails. And our partnership with EcoCounter allows us to work with communities to set up a Trails Count program to understand, there's the technology now at the Trails Counter that can differentiate between someone on two wheels versus someone hiking, to really understand the use differentiation. And then as you start to look at other data partnerships that exist out there, whether it's through Strava Metro data, cell phone ping data, to start to understand your users, there's opportunities to expand upon that. And I know you all are doing that here. And you can start to triangulate all those data points and really have the broader picture of who's using the trails, where they're coming from, and what kind of impact they're having on your community, both economic, but as well as community health and wellness.
Yeah.
And it's really powerful data to start to unlock more community support and ultimately the funding to build the infrastructure and maintain it long-term.
For sure. And I think for us here, but I feel like we learned a lot from our first study, and I'm excited to see our second study. And, you know, the last 2 years have been a challenge with COVID, but it was an eye-opener for us in Bentonville that we had a leisure market that we've never had before in the past. You know, we always knew that we had cycling as that, but it was our game changer during COVID. We were an outdoor destination where people could come, they could rent a hotel, they could get an Airbnb, and it really was the game changer for us. And it elevated elevated our outdoor experiences here in Bentonville. And I think we're one of the things that I think other people are seeing that. And I'm super excited about that. I think from your perspective, what are your broad perspective on that? How do you see that? And how do you see that? How could that impact other communities?
Well, I mean, the pandemic taught us a lot of things, and that is that close to home access matters. And even beyond the pandemic, the value of being able to ride from your home, being the trailhead, into that system, and what it brings communities in terms of quality of life, what it can do for workforce attraction and retention. And I think what we realize, and most communities realize, is most communities don't have enough infrastructure to support their entire community. And then when you go a layer more deep, there's not equity and access to that infrastructure. Do all parts of your community have access into outdoor recreation? And so a lot of our work on the planning and design side is really encouraging folks to look at their community so that all neighborhoods and all folks can get into that outdoor rec experience very quickly and easily. And that value then, when you hit those, you know, that, or hit those criteria well in your community, it transforms your community. And yeah. I know you've seen that here.
Yes, for sure. And I think that goes into one last thing that we're going to kind of talk about, and then I'm going to let, if you have any other comments, but you know, one of the things that we're fortunate is we have a great volunteer, because now that our trails are being used so much, you have a lot of maintenance and wear and tear on your facility, on your trails, that you have to maintain. And I know we have a great volunteer volunteer aspect of things. And then we also, our Bentonville Parks and Rec has invested in paid staff for maintenance. But I know that you guys do a great volunteer training aspect and making people understand the necessity of it. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think as you made a great point, as systems grow, it often outgrows the volunteer capacity. And as systems get more diverse in how they're built, it often outgrows volunteer skill. And so we offer our trail care schools and land manager trainings to work to bring that partnership together, so that agency staff and volunteers are trained properly in how to maintain those systems. And we work with them on developing maintenance and operations plans so that their systems, stay in good shape for the folks visiting them. And so those trail care schools are really important in bringing the added capacity that a lot of departments need to their paid staff. And so we do that all around the country, and if it's something your community needs, we'd be happy to help.
And I think that was key to us in the very beginning, because I don't think our community understood the necessity of the maintenance on that. So I think we lived and breathed by our volunteers initially for years. And, you know, we couldn't thank them enough for where we are today and what their impact on our community is. You know, we've talked a lot about a lot of different things. Is there anything I missed from an Embra perspective, or anything that we haven't talked about that we should talk about?
We continue to develop tools. One program that we have we didn't talk about is our Dig In program. A lot of times when you get to construction, maybe there's that last push you need. It's a crowdsourcing program. Shimano is generous enough to, you know, provide matching dollars in that. Think of it as a Kickstarter program for your trail project. It's another way that we look through the whole process and said, like, sometimes it's just getting that last 10% to get over the finish line break ground. And so it's another program that we have. And we also, I guess along with that, just know that our Trail Champion Leadership Training, the tools and resources that are available are continually to evolve as we learn with our partners and communities. And we're here for you, and we're here to help accelerate that process in your community.
Well, we wouldn't be here in Bentonville. We wouldn't be where we are in Bentonville if it wasn't for you and your team. EMBA was a huge impact for us. Your support and some of the partnerships, from the World Summit that we did in 2016 to doing trail labs on a regular basis, bringing people into our community. And we think it's important. We want more cities to build trails because, you know me, those more people on bikes brings those folks into my community. So I'm super excited about that. Ken, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today and talking about Bentonville's mountain bike journey, trail development, the important role that IMBA is playing, and not only here, but in our communities around the world. For everyone listening, remember that you can catch all of the new American Town episodes on streaming channels by following our social channels or by going to visitbentonville.com. And on our social media, don't forget to follow Visit Bentonville on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and now we even have TikTok. We have many other exciting 2022 events this year in Bentonville, Arkansas. So check out our Visit Bentonville event calendar. Plan your trip today. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.